Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Last month, we had almost 5,000 educators and parents register for our newest webinar, Defiance and Deescalation. In this workshop, I broke down exactly what defiance is, how we can prevent it, and how we can respond in an effective way. We also got into deescalation. How can we help a child who is overwhelmed deescalate safely and in a way that doesn't interrupt the rapport you have with that child? Now, I've heard from so many of you that you missed this webinar, and that makes me so sad because I absolutely loved this session, and I think there are a lot of great take-home points. So because so many of you missed it, I want to host this webinar again. I know summer is starting and you're maybe not in school mode, but this is a one-hour session that is going to give you a lot of tangible tips to bring to your home or class setting. So I'm going to be doing this webinar again live two times on June 18th at 12 p.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. The registration link is in the show notes. This is completely free. You'll get a certificate of completion and some amazing freebies. Hope to see you on June 18th.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper Podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
All right, it is time for our summer series, and I am so excited to introduce you to this. I think you're really going to love this summer series because they're short and sweet. I know we never have a lot of time, but especially in the summer, right? We don't have a lot of time. So this summer, I'm going to be sharing short episodes focused on evidence-based practices that are actionable. So I have a great lineup of guests, BCBAs, teachers, parents that are all going to be sharing different strategies in a 10-minute episode. How great is that, right? You can pop your headphones in, you can go on a walk outside and learn something new. So we're going to be focusing on things, as I said, that are not only rooted in evidence and effective, but also are really actionable that you can bring to your classrooms, your clinical practice, your home right away. And we're going to start off this series with staff collaboration because as we learn all of these new strategies, we want to have in the back of our head how we will be teaching these strategies because it's not just about us using these techniques and knowing these resources and strategies. It's also about teaching all of the other adults in this child's life these strategies as well. Think about other teachers, paraprofessionals, other family members, other staff at the school. We have to have that plan for collaboration. And this is a tricky topic. Like we know this. We talk about staff training here all the time. If you're in my membership, we talk about it every single month, right? Because it's that important. Because we need to have a plan that is effective and robust for getting the whole team on board. So I think this is a great initial topic for our summer series, and I love how Jana explains this. So on this episode, I'm going to introduce Jana Sarno. It is her second time on the podcast. She was on the podcast a few years ago talking about task analysis, and here we are back talking staff training. And Jana's perspective is really combining the science and the art of team collaboration. We know there's a science. We know there are evidence-based strategies that can help us teach strategies to team members, but there's also a little bit of an art to it, right? Getting that mutual respect, getting rapport, reflective listening. So having this combination of skill sets is really, really important. So let's jump in and hear from Jana. Welcome back to the Autism Helper Podcast. I am so excited to have Jana Sarno here for the second time. Last time we were here, Jana, we were talking task analysis, and now we're switching gears and going to talk staff training and collaboration. These are like two perfect topics.
Yeah, Sasha, thank you so much for having me and having me back. You're right. Yeah, I think that oftentimes we really get excited about providing services to our students and teachers and with our parents, and that we forget that the art and the science of collaboration will allow that intervention to be really effective. So I thought it was just really timely as you kind of go into a series about different strategies that we don't forget kind of some of that foundational work around collaboration.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Like, we need the effective, you know, strategy, but that's really only one piece of the puzzle.
Exactly. And I think one of the things that I was, why I kind of really wanted to have this conversation with you is that recently an article was published in Behavior Analysis in Practice, and they looked at how many BCBA programs taught a course on a consultation or collaboration. And it was 11%.
Wow.
Of those programs. Yeah. And you really start to think, like, if we always work through people, work through a parent or work through a teacher, and we were never really taught the skills, there's really some foundational opportunities. And that article was just published last year. So it wasn't an oldie that we kind of look at and go, well, things have changed. It's relatively fresh in our literature, which really has an opportunity for us to kind of do better. And that article, I love a quote, if I could just kind of drop it in here for your audience. It says, to maximize our impact, we must build the capacity of others. This requires building collaborative relationships with others. Consultation is one important means of achieving this goal. And I think that's all what we're after, is building the capacity of our teams and our communities to be able to serve, you know, students more effectively.
And I think that's so relevant, not only for like the clinician to like teacher or clinician to parent relationship, but also for the teacher to paraprofessional relationship, or the all the other people that we have to collaborate with in our buildings.
I would, yes, always agree with that. And that's why kind of that open definition of collaboration, it doesn't mean, you know, behavior analyst to the teacher. It means teacher. It means paraprofessional. It means special education teacher, general education teacher, really coming together with a couple key things in mind, right? So collaboration requires mutual respect of each other's discipline or background, a mutual goal. That goal is set together as a team. There's shared decision-making, and also shared accountability for the outcomes. And I think that that's really important when we kind of go back to that definition about why it's so important to engage in collaboration.
I love those points too, because it's not so like, I don't know the right word here, but it's not like, I'm going to tell you what to do and you're going to do it. It's like, no, we need mutual respect. We're going to make decisions together. It's more about like teamwork as opposed to like someone being the boss and someone being the listener.
Yeah, exactly. I think it requires just a different set of skills than maybe we were trained on. And it really calls in a different set of skills and requires us to take perspective taking. We know that good executive functioning skill of taking perspective of others. It requires reflective listening, active listening, understanding, points of validation for our other team members, kind of points of view. So really kind of calls upon a different set of skills. And that's before we even talk about our ABA-based interventions. We have a whole different set of skills that we have to call upon before we even get to the things that we were formally trained to do.
Oh, the reflective listening is such a good piece that I think we kind of forget about, because we're like busy. We're like jumping in to like, here's the strategy. But like, we need all that like pairing and relationship building before.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think that's why kind of this episode, I thought about it as there's the science components. There are things that we know from decades of research really work effectively for consultation. But then there also is a part about the art of collaboration. And one of my things I would say would be to avoid some of those pitfalls. And your listening point comes right in there. I think sometimes when we engage in collaboration or consultation, we are trying to listen and analyze slash act at the same time, rather than listening to get information, to validate, to build rapport. So as we think about kind of the science elements, but also kind of those art elements, I would definitely say to remember to listen, to understand, not to solve problems simultaneously. And also making sure that we're kind of staying true to kind of what brought us to that table and not having drift where we end up solving a different problem or looking at different data and really diminishing the effectiveness of collaboration because we've shifted a couple different times.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
So what other components do you think about that are really important in this category of like the art of collaboration? I really like that phrase.
Yeah, so I think listening would be the first one. I also think there's importance again, right, on listening but not trying to act kind of simultaneously or doing the analysis. Staying true to kind of the statement of concern or the problem that kind of brought us to the table. And then one I'll really add on to is not planning for staff or parent training. I think sometimes we listen to the problem, we get our data, and that third step of collaboration and consultation is plan implementation. And sometimes we're so quick to run and implement the plan because we're in that situation where we need to have change that we forget about there's a science of training to integrity, monitoring that work, making sure that those interventions are realistic in the environment. So I would also say one of our elements that would be avoid kind of the pitfalls of staff training and making sure that we do that work to set us up for that final stage of collaboration, which is evaluating the plan. Did things get better? Did they change? What could we do differently? Is this sustainable? And it really hinges on, did we train to the degree of integrity that we need to be able to effectively evaluate that doesn't work?
Yeah, I think you're right. We totally like skip that step. We're like, okay, now we got the plan. Great, let's go. And it's like a secondary thought almost.
It is. Sometimes it is because I think we get so excited that we have kind of that plan. But really, we know that just things on paper are good. But we know from behavioral skills training that modeling, that observation, that direct feedback is what makes behavior kind of change and supports that collaborative process. You started that collaborative process by listening, showing mutual respect, and you can carry that through staff training rather than saying, here's the behavior plan, I'll be back in 2 weeks, saying like, and I'll be back tomorrow. Let me show you what it looks like. Can I model that for you? What else could we do that's different in your classroom? So yeah, you're totally right. Sometimes we like zip on and we're just hoping to get to the end and forget that we really need to train on those things.
So I'm sure you hear this a lot as well. And I'm curious what advice you have. You know, I hear a lot, we don't have time for that. Like we're short staffed. We don't have enough, you know, adults. What advice do you have for finding that time to get that training done?
I think that time starts first by asking kind of teachers or paraprofessionals, like what would work well in your classroom and providing opportunities to have different things, right? So a teacher may say, I'm unable to have a formal kind of opportunity for training, but I could look at a video if you can model that for me. Or I use visual supports even for me as a teacher. What else could you provide that would, you know, simplify things for me as well? So I think it's getting kind of that input in that design stage to say, I think that this intervention is going to be really effective. Here are the ways that we can provide training, what would work well, and also discuss kind of the pros and cons of those approaches too, I think is really important. So getting that input from the beginning of that plan creation is one of my kind of most favorite tips, because then you don't get towards the end and then, you know, build something that it just may not be sustainable.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I really like that. And again, going back to what you said earlier about like mutual respect, like really showing like, I think that shows that you respect their time.
Exactly. I think for all of our teachers and parents and, you know, paraprofessionals, time is a really hard commodity to come by. And sometimes we think about training in a really traditional sense, like it requires me to go there and to do this and model. And there's innovation both in kind of computer-based instruction and visual prompts and flow charts and all these other tools that we can use that can be effective at training new skills. Yeah, I think we covered a lot of different kind of, avoiding kind of some of those pitfalls. And I would just say from the science perspective, I would say to, you know, stay committed to the process. By definition, behavioral consultation has four phases: problem identification, so what is a concern; problem analysis, where are the data, what data do we need, why is it happening; implementation, so plan implementation. So here's the intervention. Here's what it's going to look like. Here's how it's implemented. Here's how we're going to train on it. And then also plan evaluation. Did it work? This is our step also to gather social validity in terms of, buy-in, kind of usability too. So one of the, other tips I would say to kind of avoid kind of pitfalls, we stay committed to the process and see those kind of steps through to the end.
That's great advice. And I think this idea of, you know, these two kind of mindsets coexisting of like having this evidence-based framework that we're going to follow and stick through to the end, but also having those softer skills that can make the process be effective along the way is a good way to, I think, approach this collaboration staff training goal.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's just this nice marriage between what the science tells us, what our formal training has provided, and then also kind of those elements of art in terms of how to show up, how to train, how to ask for input, and how to bring people along into that process to again, kind of do the thing that we want to be able to do collectively, which is improve, teacher, student, parent outcomes through our services.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I feel like we covered a lot here in this short episode. We got a lot in.
We did.
Because it's such an important topic. Can you share a little bit more where people can go to learn more from you?
Yeah, sure. So I am the Chief Clinical Officer of Hope Ridge Autism Therapy Services here. So you're welcome to kind of reach out through our website, but then also active in social media channels, especially LinkedIn, and kind of sharing resources and support there.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us for a second time.
Thank you, Sasha. Always appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper Podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest. Or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum, Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.